Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. I'm here with my co-host, Burl Love, and today's special guest is Chelsea Brown York. You might not know her name off the top of your head, but you definitely know what she does.
What does she do?
She's the Vice President of Events and Experience at Cincinnati at the Regional Chamber. What does that really mean?
She is going to be very busy this weekend.
She's in charge of Cincinnati Oktoberfest Cincinnati. Excuse me. That's a very big distinction. The largest Oktoberfest in the country. We're going to catch up with her about like what we're going to see new this year. It kicks off on Thursday night with this extra day. I love.
And if you're going to come down to 2nd Street looking for Oktoberfest, you're going to be a few blocks off.
You are, because you're going to find a concert and a Bengals game. It's a big weekend downtown, and we're going to be saying that a lot, I think, on this podcast. In the upcoming weeks, there's so many events coming up. Fall is very fun in Cincinnati.
It is. So Oktoberfest Cincinnati is going to go up back to 5th Street.
Yes.
Like it was a few years back. That's not a bad spot. You know, you can kind of launch from Fountain Square and head up and down and...
I'll give you my review next week. But I promise that it is a good location. And you just, you know what? You really can't with the Bengals games. There's so much logistics that go into getting people in and out of the stadium. You cannot close 2nd and 3rd Street. It would be an absolute nightmare.
It would be.
And you and they want the crowd from the game to go to Oktoberfest.
It's a tradition. I love when Oktoberfest falls on a Bengals home game because there's never a more electric time when you have the fans kind of spilling out of the stadium and they're, you know, win or lose, you just want to go to Oktoberfest, you know, keep the party going.
Win. We're going to win this week. We're going to put last week behind us. Win this week, it seems like. The Coolidges will be bringing them luck in person.
So?
Yes.
All right. But we've had some news as we speak, as we sit here today.
We do. City Hall is back to work, you guys. I have had like two stories every day. I wouldn't have it any other way. You know what? The big news this week is development news. I wrote a story with Sydney Franklin, our development reporter. FC Cincinnati is really unveiling. Now, they have done it in paperwork that's filed on the city website and everything. I know you guys all go there and look, but in case you didn't, by the time this podcast airs, you'll have seen a story from us about what this development north of TQL Stadium is going to look like. It's a $300 million development. It's not a surprise. It is going to look very different than we've written in the past with approvals. So it's going to Planning Commission for approvals. Then this fall, kind of in the next couple of weeks, it'll go through the whole council approval process.
I kind of wish we had the Schoolhouse Rock version of how a development becomes a development, kind of like how a bill becomes a law, because it is a multi-step process. I think that's a good idea. We'll have our graphic artist / video animation guy, Mike Nyerges. We'll have him tackle that.
Sometimes you can feel yourself getting assigned something or in that moment. But you know what? I do love this.
Well, walk us through that part of it. So FC Cincinnati, you know, no secret, this has been part of the plan all along to develop the area around the stadium and make it its own bona fide entertainment district destination, you know, launching from the stadium development. So you already said it's headed to Planning Commission.
It is. And basically, it's a conceptual plan. So what we're seeing is a hotel, 23 floors, an office building. There's going to be condos on top of the hotel, an entertainment venue. You see the sketch of it, basically, which is basically as large as it can go. It's pretty much all there, but it can be a little bit smaller, but it can never be bigger than this. But it's not that it's conceptual. It's like this, we would like this to be a hotel and zone for a hotel. We would like this to be an entertainment venue and And here's how this is all going to work. This is the kind of water lines we need and the fire service and all of these, like, you know, nitty gritty that the city does, not what hotel it is, not what kind of concerts are going to be there per se, not those kind of details. But this conceptual of really, but it's a big outline of what, you know, the north end of the stadium is going to look like up to Liberty Street. And it is a big change. And Sydney and I both have really been referring to it as the Banks North. This is a big entertainment district.
The Banks of the West End.
The Banks of the West End. The West End Community Council, I will say, signed off on this. This is not the same kind of contention that we saw the first time they brought the stadium forward and what this was going to look like. It was going to be a lot more office space and everything in the original conceptual plans, but then we had a pandemic and things are different. The West End Community Council, I just think there's a lot more buy-in from the neighborhood. Because the team, there's so much outreach both ways. There's like planning and design people from the community on different committees, and there's a city committee of residents. And so the community council, they did write a letter in support of this. So it is not the fight that we saw, you know, in past years. Which is not, we haven't had a planning commission yet, though. So I'm not going to speak for the whole neighborhood. You always got to go to the meeting stay till the end.
And that is where we might see if there's any concern, opposition.
We did have some zoning meetings already in both Sydney. Those are online, but they send out they send anyone who's going to be affected by this, like in sight of it, in a certain distance and everything. This is the first part of it. They got a postcard. They were invited to talk about the zoning of this, express their concerns. Only two people spoke, which was a huge surprise. I expected a lot of people really to voice their concerns. Someone asked about noise, but this really, I mean,
compared to a soccer stadium. Full capacity. I think they've gotten over the noise issue. You did touch on, they had to briefly, you know, the pandemic changed a little bit. In what way?
So there really was going to be a lot of office space. There was this Tri-State Window building. It was this beautiful old building, and it was going to be like this loft office-y space. There is not a market in Cincinnati for office space.
There is not a market in Cincinnati for office space.
And so they reconfigured, and, you know, residential's really where it's at. We've written so much about that, and they agree with that. Bring people down to live here. And it's mixed use on the first floors. I think we'll see a lot of, like, bars and restaurants, and that's why we're really kind of talking about a comparison to the Banks. Mm-hmm. Outside the stadium. It's being done by these developers who've done Wrigleyville in Chicago, a lot of expertise in what makes a successful, like, stadium area.
That's interesting because unlike the two stadiums we have on the riverfront, the TQL Stadium does have a more neighborhood feel. It's like in the middle of a neighborhood as opposed to along the banks of a river, much like Chicago's Wrigley Field.
If you look out the west end of the stadium, and you can walk all the way around the stadium, you can walk outside, there's just an absolute stunning view of the west side of the city. You look out over all the rooftops, and you can see Museum Center, and it is very much in the neighborhood. And so I will say that Sydney and I did, we walked the site with Jeff Birding, because it's the development is separate than the team, but it's the same people, basically. And we did that because I wanted to see, like, what does this look like? How close is this development to housing? Are people being displaced? And we did not see any of that. It's just a lot of vacant land north of the stadium. Was there some movement 5 years ago when this was all coming together? Absolutely. But there's no new, we're not going to see any of that. We walked the site and I took a look around of really who's going to be affected. There's three houses on like a small little street called Bower Street. Or Bower Avenue, maybe. I talked to one of the residents, knocked on the door, we had an interesting conversation, but not a contentious one. He's like, I know, I'm a renter, I live by the stadium. And so that little street's gonna stay there, but it's just.
That's fascinating. Yeah. And Jeff Birding being the CEO of FC Cincinnati.
Correct. Correct.
For those who haven't been following along.
And a council person when the banks were built. And so he has some experience. He wasn't here for like the actual, I don't think, like, you know, really what it looks like now.
Right.
As opposed to kind of what the plans were. But he was integral in getting it done.
So this is not the only thing happening downtown.
No, it is not. Actually, so we put it into context because when I heard the timeline of what was happening, because they are not playing around, 2 years for this mixed-use development to come out of the ground and be up and running, I was like, wow, that's the same as the convention center project. And then the very same day, we saw the whole Central Parkway Boulevard project.
Right. So three
it had
big,
the same timeline.
So three big projects. If this moves forward, and after Planning Commission, if I'm not mistaken, City Council will be the final.
Yes, as going
yes
back to
no.
the how a bill becomes a law,
right,
goes
yes.
to Planning Commission, then a council committee for a full vetting with the public. The public doesn't really
but
always
already
come to-
green lighted. You mentioned the expansion of Central Parkway. I shouldn't say expansion. We're kind of narrowing a little bit so we can
well,
do some more
still,
development.
We're in the
as
process.
A road, yes.
That's going to be a lot of private money going into that. Cindy and I really talked a little bit about how that's going to be paid for. And we're in the design process of like how narrow should it be and everything. But the city's very serious about getting it done. So it's happening.
Already moving forward. The other big project, obviously, is the redevelopment of the convention district.
Yes.
Hotel expansion.
And the convention center district is going to have its own entertainment area where 435 Elm was, which that is being knocked down as we speak. Elm Street is closed. The bulldozers are out. And so that old convention place mall that has much past its useful life is coming down. They're going to be looking for a developer to develop that whole site. And they're really kind of thinking like entertainment district to come out of the convention center where you can eat and have a good time at night after a day of conventioning.
So this all fits into where downtown is heading. It's evolution from the place where people work and then they drive away for, going home to, to eat for entertainment, to flipping that upside down where this is the place people come to enjoy themselves. Entertainment districts, restaurants, events, and we have the Doras, the designated outdoor refreshment areas.
Ooh, I'm impressed. I would have had to look that
you?
Up, but since you said it, that's it. Yeah.
So the question, which I don't know if we have the answer to yet, is can this market support that many entertainment districts in one downtown location?
So here's where I'm at with that, because I have that question myself and as much residential as that's coming online. And the one thing I have learned about development in my years of covering City Hall and having, a lot of questions about financing and everything, these developers have to go to a bank and get money. And the banks do vet these projects within an inch of their life. A bank isn't going to be like, oh, it all looks good. There's all kind of like pro formas, and they have to prove that they think that they can fill these up and there's going to be people coming. And so like the money people certainly think that this all can be successful or there would be no lending. So I'm going to say yes. I am interested to see it with this whole like City Club being built, the second tower of City Club. I have never seen a bigger like construction vehicle ever that is on Vine Street right now that is there to build the pool on top of the second
right.
City Club tower. And this is going, and I was in the lobby and I peek in the lobby of City Club and there's like a whole like schematic of everything. And I was like, it's fancy and nice. They have a lot of amenities. And I was like, I guess they think they're going to fill it up. It's going to be open pretty soon.
Well, obviously, the best place to get all this news and information is Cincinnati.com because of your work, Sydney's work. And just a lot is going to be unfolding over the next 2 years. So
it is really exciting. It was likened to me kind of like after 2001 when everything happened and there was the reconfiguring of Fountain Square and that's when the banks was really being approved and when 3CDC was created and Over the Rhine really started to come. So it was like those three prongs happened in the 2000s. And now this is the second wave and a big wave of a lot of projects at one time, just like that was.
And you got 3CDC, the Cincinnati Center City Development Corporation.
You are on fire today,
bro. I am on fire today. because, you know, I know you know all of this, but some of our listeners might be, what is that again? The private non-for-profit development corporation that was set up by the business community and the governments to really handle these large projects much more efficiently than a government body could do. They are the lead developer for the convention district.
They are, which the city and the county, it's their ownership of it, but they together, you know, they kind of got together. It's a cooperation. And they each voted separately to say 3CDC will be the lead on this whole district.
Well, much more to come. And we had just a little bit of breaking news today as well. Not breaking so much, we knew it was coming, but the search for a new fire chief is officially done.
Yes. So the city manager
is busy today.
It's been this week, Pearl, but we're back. We're back from summer break, and I wouldn't have it any other way. The new fire chief is Frank McKinley. He's an assistant fire chief in Dallas, which is a larger department than ours. And so he's coming from this bigger department, and he's going, this is the first time he'll be a chief, but he's been an assistant chief there over different areas for 7 years. He's 51 years old. He knows the landscape. He was asked in the press conference today what his favorite football team was. The question was actually asked, are you a Dallas Cowboy fan? And he said no. And then the follow-up question was, well, what team do you like? And he did say the Cincinnati Bengals. And he was a wide receiver in college for his college football team.
I don't believe him for a second, but obviously he knows how to win over a crowd.
He got actual applause. There was a lot of people in the city kind of like peeked in on this press conference to be like, who is it and everything. And see, sometimes, you know, you could get like 3 or 4 people at a city press conference, or sometimes you get a lot of people and wondering who this was going to be. And, you know, he was asked tons of questions. I didn't ask a lot of big questions. I loved what he said. He's going to come in, he's going to talk, and he's going to listen. And in my experience, good bosses do that to start, and they don't just come in and think they know everything. And he's like, I need to talk to everyone, especially our female firefighters, which the last chief was fired.
And we do want to get to special guest time. But
we
just
do.
Very
we do.
Briefly, this kind of closes the chapter of the former chief, Michael Washington.
Oh, no, that lawsuit's still going on, bro.
As far as the fire department itself,
yes.
The personnel, everybody moving forward, they have a new chief. Washington left after an investigation and into complaints about hostile work environment, especially involving female members of the department. Does it feel like a fresh start for them right now?
It did. It really did. People seemed happy. There was an internal candidate that on the short list, but the city manager, and that doesn't always happen in Cincinnati, did, you know, go outside. I saw a very intense search going on behind the scenes and a lot of work put into finding this position. You know, the city manager's been on the job for a year. And so I think a lot of work went into this.
All right. Well, I think it's time to talk about beer, brats, and Lederhosen. What do you say?
Done. I love it.
Let's do it.
Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. Welcome, Chelsea. We're very excited to talk about all things Oktoberfest Cincinnati.
Thanks for having me.
You did book the busiest person in Cincinnati to be on this podcast.
I know.
At
we
this
appreciate
very moment.
You coming to chit chat with us about things.
I mean, if anyone's listening thinking they have a busy week, nobody has a busier week than you right now.
Yeah, Fifth Street is busy with everybody working to bring the event this weekend. So we're really excited.
And it starts on Thursday. So you made the week just
time.
A little bit harder,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes.
So do you expect more people because of the Thursday start?
Yeah, I think we're expecting a great crowd on Thursday. And then we're also just seeing more and more people attend our events this year. So Taste of Cincinnati had a record crowd. Asian Food Fest almost had 100,000 people. So people are back and ready to go to events and ready to be together and celebrate. And it's been wonderful. So we're expecting a great crowd.
Well, and the good thing about it is you can pair it with other events.
Yes, this weekend is the weekend to have the Cincinnati event sampler.
and a sampler it is, because my favorite thing about Oktoberfest is that really I mean, Taste of Cincinnati is one thing, but this is all about food and fun. Mm-hmm. This is
and beer.
But before we get into that, tell us about how you stepped into this role.
Yeah. So I've actually been working with the Chamber. I was at 3CDC prior to joining the Chamber, and I was there for almost 9 years. And so working hand in hand with the team that produced these events, both Blink, Asian Food Fest, the running of the Wieners at Fountain Square. So these events have always been present, and I've always had a little bit of a background role. And when the opportunity came to join the team, had really great conversations with Brendan and Justin, and they really kind of sold me on the opportunity to come into these events that have this really rich and, you know, history, and let's work together to bring them, to keep those traditions, but then modernize them and make some updates and add some exciting elements. So
they're both past guests.
Yes.
Brendan is the new president of the Chamber. He just took over that role. Yes. I've been on the other end of his sales pitches, so I assume that there was no saying no, but yeah. It does seem like an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, he came over to my desk and he's like, "You're doing the podcast." I was like, "Well, I thought you wanted me to, so I'm doing it." But no, I'm happy to be here. And yeah, we were just before I came over here, he was kind of walking me through, you know, giving me the communications talking points.
Oh, really? A little bit of coaching from Brendan.
All right, that's a good boss, though.
Yeah, that's good. It was great.
A little bit of media consult going on there. All right, so what's...
This is your first Oktoberfest, though, right?
This is my first Oktoberfest. So I've been with the Chamber for about 6 months. So a real busy summer of learning a new organization, new events, but, you know, definitely used to doing events. 3CDC did about 1,500 events a year. So now I'm just doing 5, but they're on a much bigger scale.
They're big.
Yeah.
So this week, as you walked in here, you said that, you know, the tents are going up. This, you know, 5th Street is going to be transformed into... Now, we have to make sure we say this right. You said earlier the largest Oktoberfest
in the nation,
but probably, I don't know how you can verify this, the second biggest Oktoberfest next to Munich.
Yes, that is correct.
All right.
Yeah.
So what is a day in your life like right now?
Well, the last couple weeks have been a lot of communication. And as you can imagine, there are so many different partners that we're working with, from the small businesses that are setting up, you know, their restaurants in the street, which is a whole ordeal, working with our beer partners, our distributors, breweries, local, our tending companies. So we're meeting people where they're at in terms of like communication, getting everybody the details. But it's just been go, go, go. But it's really fun today, like load in morning. It's just like this crisp, rainy morning. I was joking that it's like raining on your wedding day. It's good luck.
But it's raining on loading day. I said it's not the actual event, because I was like talking about weekend events with my friends this morning, I was like, thank God this rain isn't on Thursday.
Yes, exactly. So just a lot of getting things, the moving parts put into place. And it's really fun right now to see it all come together. And by 4 o'clock on Thursday at the opening ceremony, we'll be ready to pour our first beer and cheers.
I don't know if you know this, Burl, but several of your reporters will be leaving early on Thursday.
Oh, I know. I found out today at our staff meeting that we are competing.
Against each other, maybe.
What is it called again?
They're called the G Games, unless you are fluent in German and you can say the full word.
Which is what?
I can't.
Oh, we'll ask you again next year.
Give me some more time.
So I have one rule, because it's, you know, mostly competing against other media organizations, that you must win.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're undefeated over the last couple of years in these type things. 2-time winner of the Quacky Games.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
The Scurry.
Although I don't think we competed in the last one, but
that
I'm not
day is
sure.
Always hilarious downtown. Like, people are just frantically. Oh, yeah.
I was talking to the organizer of the Scurry. We'll discuss this for next year.
Oh, I'm
good. He would like us to participate again.
I'm hanging up my Scurry shoes. Did it once. We won.
I want to
go out on a high note. So the barrel rolling.
Barrel rolling, holding six steins in each hand full of beer.
So, I mean, so
wait,
what
six
do you,
in each hand?
I think it's six
it's
in each.
It's got to be three total.
No, the photos six look wild. I don't know how anybody does it.
And wait, so how I did was like, I did think I could cheat a little bit. Let's just be honest here.
What, drink it as you go
to
lighten
the load
a little bit?
No, to get some advice on what to do.
Ah.
Well, you should have started lifting a couple months ago.
Oh, no.
I'm a little worried, because had I known earlier, I would have like pulled this team together. together, there would have been mandatory training
workouts and
drills and things like that. But so what new can people expect when they come down?
We are super excited to debut a couple new things. So you think of Munich and these Oktoberfest, you see these beautiful large fest tents. They have the luxury of 2 months loading in a fairground style atmosphere. We do not have that. We have the streets of downtown Cincinnati. But we are working with local artist groups to do large scale art installations in 3 of our tents. And so Dan Shields, who did an installation at Blink, as well as the Yarn Bomber, or the Bombshells, I'm sorry. The Bombshells, also a local artist group, are knitting a 6-foot pretzel chandelier that will be in one of our tents. We have giant sunflowers. We have flying wiener dogs suspended from the ceilings of these tents. And so we're really excited to have that new this year. We're also working with Jägermeister. So we are debuting liquor, and we are all mentally preparing for Cincinnati to be doing Jäger bombs and Schottskis.
Wow. Will there be a Jäger fountain?
I'm sure if I asked Jäger to bring a fountain, they would be like, yeah, we've got 4.
Then they might be like, they're on the truck, fine.
Yeah. They have plenty of fun stuff to bring, so we're excited about that. And then one of the things that we're working with is kind of when I was having these calls with partners initially, and you'd get these cold calls, like, we want to be the official pretzel. And I'm like, okay, what does that look like? And it's been really fun because Snyder's of Hanover, which is a brand that's sold in Kroger here locally, the team there was like, let's make some stuff up together. And I was like, cool. And it has been a really fun creative process with that team to bring the fun zone to life. And the thought is, like, you go to breweries and there's kids crawling all over. Why can't we have something like that at Oktoberfest? It's not the rides that people know and love from the past of Oktoberfest, but it is something where people can bring their kids. They can bring kids of all ages. If you want to bring your inner kid out, and you can do some games and kind of enjoy that area. So we're really excited there. And that's where you can find the pretzel chandelier.
All right.
Okay. So what do you do with the pretzels? Wait, can you actually eat it?
Like, no, it's like it's a yarn. It's made out of yarn.
Yarn.
But
okay.
Everyone is wanting to know what's going to happen to
it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We might have to come up with something.
Could go in the chamber auction. Lobby.
Yeah, a big auction.
All right, Brendan, I have an idea for decoration in the lobby. But yeah, so those are a couple of the new things. We also have some really cool merch. I brought you some.
I was looking online today. I was doing research for this, but I may have fallen down. Like, oh, it's a shop. The t-shirt's adorable. It's really cute.
They are awesome. Yes. We worked with a local company to design those, and they just kind of went with the brand. They're so fun. I want one of everything, but I don't need that many t-shirts.
So there's 4 steins, right?
Yes. So they're everyone knows the plastic sign that you can get refilled every year.
I have
one
from every year in our cupboard. They kind of fall out when the cupboard opens at this point. But I'm like, we can't get rid of them. Mm-mm. Because there's one from every year.
You got to line them up and get all the years. But this year there's 4 designs. One commemorating some of our big key events. So the chicken dance, the Oompa-Pa bands, and the running of the wieners. And then we have a orange and black edition that is only available on Sunday. So we're trying to get some people to come fill their steins before, after, during the game.
It's really smart.
That
you
is
want
smart.
To all you got to go multiple days.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can only eat and drink so much. You kind of do have to go multiple days. You can't just do it all.
I have to go multiple days because there's just – and there's a one of my favorite things to get is a very polarizing German tradition, and that's the Limburger cheese sandwich. So sometimes I go just by myself, so I don't have to hear anybody complain about how stinky it is.
Burl is carrying the water on that one for the podcast.
I mean, they sell it every year. They have to sell enough of them.
Oh, there's people lined up for it. There's people like Phil, you've had one, producer Phil, haven't you?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. But I don't recommend having it if you're going to be around people, you know, because it's stinky.
Man. I'm more like soft pretzels and cream puffs.
Yeah.
But stick with the hips.
So then I go, so that's kind of like my personal trip to Oktoberfest where I indulge in the Limburger cheese sandwich. And then when I go with Lauren or family or friends or whatever, then it's, how many brats can I eat? That's the challenge, right? Well, how many food vendors do you have this year?
So there is 18 maybe 20, 18 to 20.
Okay.
And they're ranging from the traditional German potato pancakes, brats, mets, Limburger cheese sandwiches, cream puffs. But we also have some local businesses, including like Sweets and Meats. So you can just go get a barbecue if you are like, I can't eat any more German food. It's day four here. I need something else. We were joking in the office. We're like, there are literally no vegetables on the menu. So don't come there if you need a vegetable.
Wait, we went to Munich and on like day four, we went to get Mexican food. I'm like, there's no vegetables. I was like, I can't eat.
Not in the
drawer. Everybody's going to get scurvy.
I was like, I'm an Italian girl. I can't eat that many brats. And so we got Mexican on like the fourth day. And then we went back to the traditional. So you were speaking. I know.
And I noticed in the last few years that like there was always some getta here and there. But like now everybody's trying to be the most creative getta user. Like, do you get an award for the most creative use of getta as an ingredient?
Not yet, but that's a great idea. I think we should.
It seems like you are because people are trying, you know?
Well, I think the interesting thing is there's a lot of sauerkraut in many different recipes on this menu. And I think that could kind of be a fun like sauerkraut cooking competition.
Yeah.
I would like that.
Now I'm
actually
getting hungry.
Yeah. I love anything.
I know, me too.
I should have brought you guys some food.
So what... First year doing this, were there any surprises as the organizer that you can share with us?
It's all been a surprise. The whole team is new. I mean, so not only myself, which started in April, but my colleague Tim started in March. My colleague Paige started in May. The most senior person on our team, Rob, he started maybe a year ago. So we are all kind of going through this all for the first time. And it's been really fun as a team. It's also been very challenging.
When did they tell you that Second Street was kind of, you know, out?
Like my
after
my,
you were hired?
Yeah, after I was hired, like the first month on the job, they're like, by the way, we'll get through Taste of Cincinnati, because that's in a month after you started. But now we got to move Oktoberfest. So we'll just deal with that after. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's figure it out. I don't scare easily is what I tell, okay, so tell Brendan. Yeah.
You look remarkably calm and relaxed for... what is about to happen.
My tagline that I tell our vendors and people on site is, I'm new here, but I'm not new. So, like, we got this. Yeah.
Well, and I've been involved in some
that is,
organizing
that's like
some
your
big
Real
events.
Housewives tagline.
It is. That's my credits.
At some point, it takes on a life of its own, right? Where you can, you've done all the pre-planning you can do, and there's just so many people involved and so many moving parts that really you're just like, all your work is probably done weeks and months ahead of time. Yes. Now you're just kind of...
And we're really lucky that a lot of the partners on this event have been doing it for years. And so they're kind of guiding me a little bit in the back. Like, oh, hey, this is how this has been done in the past. So it's been really great. And I've had a lot of a community to lean on. And I think, you know, you ask anybody, first of all, started this job, how much unsolicited feedback did I get? Oh, hey, congratulations on the new job. By the way, I'd love to have more seating at Taste of Cincinnati. I don't want to have my kids eat on the curb. Like, you know, these kinds of things. I'm like, okay, hi, thank you. I'll file that away. But yeah, it's been really fun and a lot of surprises along the way, but it's been a really exciting 6 months at the Chamber.
So what's the layout like on Fifth Street? Will there be like stages on each end?
So we have, now that you're asking me, we have seven stages. So there's one main stage, and that's where the running of the wieners takes place, the sign holding competition, hoisting competition. But then each fest tent has its own stage. So there's different entertainment areas throughout the whole festival. We learned a lot at Taste of Cincinnati, again, seeing record crowds. And so kind of a benefit of having that same footprint is we could make some adjustments and go there. So really kind of spreading things out and encouraging people to walk and see all the different aspects of the festival. Using a lot of the side streets off of Fifth. So it's,
I mean,
not
if you
just
can walk around with a beer in your hand, they're great.
And it's going to be like 80 and sunny and beautiful this weekend. It's going to be great.
Are you going, Sherry?
Well, I'm definitely going on Thursday. I suspect there's a Saturday visit me too. And maybe.
Wait, are you competing?
I am. We can't say no to Catherine.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, like when she asks, you say yes.
I'm always the last to know what's going on around here. Well, I'm expecting victory. Huh? Nothing short of victory.
I don't know. I know some of my coworkers are competitive.
We need to get like a championship belt or a trophy or something.
Oh, there needs to be a trophy. There's no trophy.
Well, I'm going to see what I can do.
How about the trophy will be a complete set of the mugs?
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. We'll
there
do
you
that.
Go.
We'll
then
do
we can
that.
Display them.
Just and what you need, four right more mugs.
Right? No, we'll put them right next to the Pulitzer. Where I want the Quacky Game trophy back because we gave it to a former colleague when we were moving
we
our offices.
That.
Yeah, I was asking about it today and they're like, well, we gave it to Mike Betts. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, well.
I could get that for you. Maybe
we'll get it back. But wouldn't it be great, like right next to the most prestigious award that you can get in journalism, we'll have...
In the trophy game. This
is a lot of, this is a lot of pressure, you guys. I mean,
we'll have an Oktoberfest beer stein to mark.
The only really, thought I put into this is what I was going to wear. But all right, we're what's today? We're 2 days out.
You've got time.
I have some time.
I tell you what. I tell you what. I cannot believe I didn't know until today you guys were doing that. I'm happy. I'm proud. I'm all about this. But I'm worried.
We hired a videographer team, so we'll
we'll
get you the whole.
Oh, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there pacing like a coach on
we'll
the sidelines.
Recap out.
Well, is there anything we didn't ask that we should have?
So you were saying maybe not Fifth Street next year. Like, what does this look like? Are you already planning next year?
Yeah. So what we were talking about earlier is this is the largest Oktoberfest celebration in the United States. These events are getting bigger. People are looking for things to do. And so we are really excited about growth and what that looks like for Oktoberfest. And we're not just talking like people, beer sold, potato pancakes eaten. Like we're talking about how this event can grow both in like the vibrancy and the celebration of the community and culture. And I think we're taking some steps there, working with local artists and outreach into the community. But we also need the space to grow and evolve this event. Downtown has a lot of really great civic spaces, and I was lucky enough to program those when I was at 3CDC at Fountain Square in Washington Park. But there's been a lot of conversation about the caps over Fort Washington Way. And if those are complete, that would create another great civic space. And that's something that the chamber is really taking the lead on, working with the city and the county.
Now, those caps aren't going to be built by next year. But I do want to say, I do want to say when Sydney and I, because before you came in on, we were talking about like a big story that we're working on in this whole West Side development that's happening. And I will say the mayor's quoted in the story and he's very helpful for the story, but he kept being like, and the caps on Fort Washington Way. This is a very real thing that is happening. He was really, we didn't really include it. Our story is very focused on like the West Side of what's going to be happening over the next like 2.5 years on the West Side. And we didn't put the caps there. But I mean, he could not have been more serious that those caps.
Yeah.
He's expecting that we put in a very good federal bid to pay for them. And he's very excited about this project. So yes, eventually that will probably be it seems like.
But not for next year, obviously. But we're really excited to think about what that could look like and where that this event could go. And, kind of for the new era, I don't want to say a new era, but the events team is kind of there's new leadership with Justin at the helm of Blink, myself, and we've been really great collaborating together, and he's been really supportive and have all these ideas, and we kind of bounce them off each other, and it's been a really fun process with him. And then this event is celebrating 50 years in 2026. So Oktoberfest first happened in 1976, and I was actually on an Inquirer story looking at some of the old photos yesterday. And it was fun. Like residents would paint all the window storefronts downtown. And it just seemed like this really communal thing. And I would really love to figure out how to tap back into that kind of magic and think about community and placemaking and collaboration. And I think that's the spirit of Blink. And how can we bring that energy to these events that, maybe don't have that exact unspoken magic that, things like Blink.
Well, and as we go along, we're talking about this earlier, it's more and more residents.
Yes.
And not just you're on the weekend and all the businesses are closed, but we're really shifting to this residential model of what our city's going to look like. And people will be just living wherever the events are.
Yeah. I've been talking to some residents. Obviously, we're right on people's doorsteps right now this weekend and talking to a couple residents. And, I'm a downtown resident too. I get it. Like some weekends you're like, oh man, my parking spot's gone because there's an FC game. But then other weekends you're like, now I get to walk to the FC game. I don't have to worry about parking. So, but the residents have been really supportive and we're really excited to kind of continue to even just hear from people and understand like how they want to be a part of this event as individuals, as, you know, community organizations. There's a lot of room for collaboration in these events moving forward.
It's best I can't walk out my door and get cream puffs at any time over like a 4-day period.
Well, you're right downtown, so you could walk out of the office and go grab one and come right back.
Good. That definitely will happen, but I can't have it on my doorstep.
Yes, that's
true. Too tempting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we know you're so busy. We can't thank you enough for hitting pause on rolling out one of the biggest events in the city to come talk to us. We feel so special.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Really excited. Right. Really excited to see everybody downtown this weekend. It's going to be really fun.
Good luck. All right. Limburger cheese sandwich, huh, Burl? I learned something about you. I learned something new about you every time we do a podcast.
I'm not the only one that
no,
likes Limburger
or they
cheese.
Wouldn't bring it back. That's true.
And I have to wait in line for it. Like they can't hand them out fast enough. Oh. But it's not my go-to. So let's wrap this podcast up with I'm gonna put you on the spot and then I'll remind. You're at Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. You can only get one thing to eat. What is it?
It is a cream puff.
A cream puff.
I'm a sweets person, and I love the cream puff.
And I'm a salty savior person. I'm very specific. It would be a brat with sauerkraut in a pretzel bun.
I do love a good pretzel bun.
Oh, pretzel buns are the bomb.
They are.
That
I
would
agree
be my
with
if
that.
If I had to just get one thing, that's what it would be.
There is a lot to choose from. She did mention potato pancakes, and that did spark my memory. I love potato pancakes,
that's
too.
That's just stomach filler. I mean, they're good, but you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. No,
so now, see, but now you know things about me, like French fries
But a cream puff. Cream puff. All right, well.
I don't eat them a lot, like, the rest of the year. Like, it's just a thing that I
eat,
do here.
I don't
here.
Think I eat a cream puff ever except for Oktoberfest, now that I think about it. All right. Well, do we have a podcast here?
We do.
All right, well. Prost.
Prost.